Poems in Winter by Tom Wayman. Darkness permeates these poems as though each constituent word was derived or descended from the Latin or Old Norse for death, grief, loss, discouragement. No matter how beautiful the poem's subject, early twilight with chimney smoke rising vertically into crystalline air, or at first light along the river, birch and aspen branches sketched in hoarfrost. A bleakness is subsumed, the perilous layer of ice created by a freeze-thaw cycle hidden beneath the snow covering the road. Despite the glacial air and wind chill, the poems spend much time outside. Snow must be removed from the laneway to the house that shelters these words to ensure a connection to highway and town. Paths to shed and barn need to be excavated through the drifts. Wood used for the furnace that heats the poem's dwelling must be wheelbarrowed into the basement from tarped stacks. Ski and snowshoe trails can be followed across meadows and forested slopes. Yards can be flooded or ponds found on which skating rinks are fashioned. Indoors, as the day starts to falter, before the afternoon has hardly settled in, the slow descent of the minutes the poem's experience matches the steady, deliberate snowfall which accompanies evening's arrival. Each moment within these rooms weighs more than an instant's size would suggest. Its mass, dense as a neutron star, contains a particle of solidified time at its core. For a poem to speak amid such heaviness is wearying. Also, the warmth that buffers the poems against the night beyond the walls is soporific. Even desk and chair urge the poems to sleep, sleep. The book falls from the hand to the blanket. The light goes out. The poems know much about their season, how snow vanishes from the boughs of spruce and pine at 2 degrees above freezing, how smoke streaming southward from the houses means deeper cold is coming, how a stretch of asphalt shadowed by cut bank or thick grove of cedar and fir is most prone to be slippery, how an austere beauty is difficulty's true reward, how to live as though spring will never reappear. Whatever the poems say, chickadee and pine siskin within them mob the suspended bird feeder. Ravens complain as they flap strenuously above the house or a summit ridge. An eagle perches just below the top of a hemlock and thinks, or floats high over the white forest of a valley wall. At dawn, or when dusk begins to infiltrate the afternoon, wisps of fog lift from the river's surface. Mist can also fill the day. Behind the closest fir and spruce, flat, jagged tops of other evergreens recede in rows to invisibility. After the tumult of dreams, the bedroom calmed by morning snowlight. After the tumult of spring, summer, fall, winter. These poems' subtext is a valley that twists between range after range of cedar and firs, each green bough bearing the white mark of the season. Rock faces are scored by columns of frozen water alongside ledges that support mounds or skiffs of snow. This landscape utters a single trumpet's wail, plaintive, dreamy, lingering, a sound that threads through the myriad notes of gently lowering flakes. Yet anything done in winter mars snow's perfection. Sound of the plow truck scraping the night, tracks of a rabbit that skirts the house unseen, roof shingles exposed closest to the chimney, icicles daggering down from the eaves, sand mixed with salt on the roads, so a world built for the absence of snow can continue, can pass by. The poems are convinced winter is poetry's season. Soon, poems will take shape, however, that have never known a winter.